You're now listening to episode 255 of the Big Bang Buzzcast, recorded on September 11th, 2023. I'm Roxanne.
And I'm Nicole, and I almost said I'm Roxanne because I knew your script, and I was like, I say something up here.
Yep. And we're going to be talking about the Wheaton Recurrence, which I feel like is an episode. How many years have we been doing this now in the making?
Are we at like 9 or 10 years?
Something like that. Close.
You know, honestly, go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say, I figured out the anniversary at some point earlier this year, and I already forgot what year it was, so.
Well, when did we make our Twitter account?
Oh,
Because I know you were doing tapering reports, but I feel like you didn't make a Twitter account originally. Yeah.
Until this. I don't know. Because I think about it, I stopped going to tapings in season 5. And then I think we started this in season 6. So it was near the end of 5.
So this account started in September of 2012. And so season 3 was 09 and 10. Season 4 was 10 and 11. And 5 would have been 11 and 12. So probably 2012 is when we started this. But I feel like that's way too early.
Hold on.
I'm trying to remember if we recorded our first episode when I was in the dorms or not.
I'm looking at our website because I know we have when we started it. Okay,
February
we started
2013.
Yes, 2013. Okay. So 10 years.
Wow, over 10 crazy. Years now. So honestly, like we always were like, oh, when we get to this one,
I really don't have any residual trauma over this episode. My dad does. He still will not watch it, which mm-hmm. I kind of am amused by. But then I'm like, don't make fun of him, Nicole. There's like multiple shows you will not watch anymore because of one episode that upset you. So
yeah.
The fact that your dad will watch all but one episode of Big Bang Theory, but like this one comes on, he changes the channel or he turns it off.
I know. It's like, I don't even know. I feel like watching it now, this episode, I felt like, honestly, like, almost nothing happens. Like, there's a Leonard and Penny thing, and everything else is filler with bowling, pretty much. So, yeah.
And yeah, even then, not much happens with, I mean, obviously breaking up is a big deal, but it's like there's the first scene, and then there's the last scene before the tag. That's very mm-hmm. significant for Leonard and Penny, and the rest of the episode, nothing happens.
Okay, you should title this episode just The One Where Nothing Happens. Just because it's ironic, people would see it and be like, what do you mean nothing happens? But then they're listening and they're like, oh, that's a good point. Nothing fucking happens.
Yeah. So shall we jump into... with the first of two significant scenes.
I thought you were going to say, should we jump into bed with Leonard and Penny? And I don't know why. I was so sure that's what you were going to say.
I mean, I guess we kind of are, but no, that was not.
Like, I was laughing when you didn't say it because I was like, why would I have literally bet my life that that was going to be the sentence that you said? When that's not even on brand for you. But I was so sure. I'm sorry, guys. I've had another really rough week and today has been absolute shit. And I said to Roxanne, she's like, do you still want to record? And I was like, well, it's not like it's a fun one. But now I'm like, is it a fun one? Because we're already laughing so much. Everyone's just watching my mental health just permanently deteriorate via this show.
It's okay.
Okay, let's jump into bed with Leonard and Penny.
Okay.
I mean, it seems like it was a good time until it wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are out of breath, so they were doing something and having fun, apparently.
You're making it vague. We know what they were doing, just not the specifics. They were doing something. Had spent more time on Google.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps Penny this time, because Leonard seemed a bit perplexed at whatever specifically happened, so.
But very quickly we get Penny's do or do not, there is no try quote, which just feels iconic.
It really does. And you can tell she's been, like, waiting to use it.
Mm-hmm. And her, like, I believe I quoted Empire Strikes Back. Like, we started Yoda, this episode on such a high note, and then it quickly goes so south.
And it's all, it's like in A Million Ways to Die in the West, when they're like, ooh, we're going to watch the ice chunks get unloaded for our ice boxes, and it's the most exciting thing that's ever happened. And then as they're unloading it, a rope breaks and just smashes this guy's skull in, and Seth MacFarlane's like, that went south so fast! That's this scene.
It is.
I need to find that gif. That's one of my mini claims to fame on Tumblr, is I made that gif, and then it became a gif that I would see pop up in completely different situations by people who didn't follow me, and I'm like, yeah, I knew that one was needed. That was a needed contribution to the gif library of the internet. Mm-hmm. Hi, Eliza, go back to sleep. I did. Between the pants fic, thank you, my sister, and that gif.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, in response to that very high moment, Leonard says, I love you, and Penny says, thank you. And it gets awkward.
At first, I thought that Penny was surprised, but now I think she's just like, oh, fuck, yeah, it is an insanely appropriate. Like, they're trying to say, like, oh, he said it too fast, but I think Penny was just like, oh, yeah, no, this would be an appropriate context for this. I'm just very thrown off.
Mm-hmm.
Because she kind of panics, I feel like.
The most awkward part about it is her, it's getting pretty late, we should probably go to sleep. I don't think I've ever had that exact conversation with somebody. Like, you just fall asleep.
And the, like, looking at her wrist for the time, and then over her shoulder.
Like, if she doesn't wear a watch, the looking at her wrist was just such a, like...
Yeah. Does Penny ever wear a watch?
I don't think so. I feel like I'm picturing a Cheesecake Factory uniform with a watch on, but I could be making that up.
I don't know.
The but fact that this is one of two scenes where anything happens and we don't have all that much to say about it.
It's because it's like he says, I love you. She says, thank you. It gets awkward and they both go to sleep.
I do think she handled that a little oddly. Like, they could have just had a conversation there where, like, she's had really bad relationship experiences. Or, like,
I don't know. I mean, I've never been in this specific situation, but I feel like it's happened a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I this is a scenario that has to have happened a lot.
I feel like at least it's a trope in, like, TV shows. At least,
right,
like, off the top of my head.
TV. She should know how this works.
Like, off the top of my head, I know, like, Gilmore Girls had a, like, oh, I love you, thank you moment that then went poorly, but still wasn't as awkward in the moment as this. So, yeah. Yeah, Penny just was very awkward in her responses, so.
I mean, as we learn later, she does know that she owes him a splination, but...
Yes.
Honestly, I think part of why I don't mind this episode is because that follow-up episode was just so good.
But I did say at the time, so at the time, I felt very traumatized by this episode because I was very new to fandom, and I literally thought that the writers had learned that there were more, I mean, not as basic as this, but I'm stripping it down. But I thought that they knew Shenny was more popular online, and so they were going to break them up to ultimately get her together with Sheldon, and that's what bothered me so much about it. It wasn't so much that, like, they broke up. Like, I was aware from other shows I watched that, like, you break up the main couple, and then they sometimes get back together. But I thought that they were, like, pivoting towards Shenny, and I think that was a huge part of my... Like, this felt like the worst day of my life when it aired. So.
See, I don't think I ever thought they were going to pivot. I just remember being in denial. After seeing this episode, it was like, okay, well, like, we didn't see, like, I guess we do really ultimately see, like, the breakup at the bowling alley. But I was like, oh, but maybe it's not really over yet. And then, like, the next episode, it's like, okay, they are broken. I was like, okay, well, they're going to get back together by the end of the season. I was very much in denial, like, this is not going to be a long-term thing. And then we saw how that went. So.
Honestly, though, I wouldn't have it any different because, like, we got the 100th episode.
Yes.
Like, they were like, our 100th, this milestone, we are going to use it to get them back together. Like, holy shit.
With that the parallels to the pilot.
Oh my god. Can we just re-record that, our episode for that episode? Because, shit. Yeah, so anyways, so now let's just skip to the end because nothing happens. Okay, so are we done with this cold open?
I think so.
Cold open, the coldest. Mm-hmm. All right, so now we've got to some dumb shit about giant ants, like in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, except it wasn't a giant ant, it was tiny children, so I don't know why I brought it up.
Giant ants makes me think of, I think it was a Goosebumps TV show. It was one of those shows in the 90s, you know, like each episode is like a different scary story for kids, like one of those type things.
I was much younger than you in the 90s and didn't have cable, so no.
Okay, well, it was one of them.
Okay. And I'll take your word for it.
The story somehow ended with literal like giant ants taking over the world. Like, I know somewhere in the middle it was, like, a kid had, like, an ant farm, and they probably weren't nice to the ants. I don't know. But, like, I just remember, like, the last, like, shot of the episode of, like, these giant ants in the neighborhood, like, towering over the people. So, that's what I think of.
Oh, that's awesome ants. It was a book. It was a short story in one of the, like, tales that give you goosebumps. And then I think that they made a television adaption. But I do know the story because of... because it was in text form as well.
Okay. Yeah, I never read it then. I just saw that episode.
Man, I was obsessed with those Goosebumps books. Do you remember The Gruel?
No, I never really read Goosebumps.
It was this book called It Came From Beneath the Sink. And I think it was just like this weird sponge, but I remember it was called a gruel. And the way you kill it is you show it love. And it feeds off of hate. And every time it would do something, it would go, heh heh heh. And, like, I was, like, I don't know why this stuck with me. Of all the Goosebumps bump I read, I was, like, obsessed with It Came From Beneath the Sink. Probably half of the little stampy stamps on the library card checkout thing were me. Obsessed with it. Gruel. Look it up. Okay, anyway.
How do you show it love? If it's...
So she petted it and started singing lullabies about how much she loved it, and then it died.
Okay. Okay.
It was a good book, okay?
I'll take your word for it.
This is gonna, like, show up as your Christmas present, and you're gonna be like, I regret ever having this conversation about the awesome ants.
Mm-hmm. Okay, something else in this scene that just stood out to me was Raj saying how he doesn't like rabbits, because how he wanted to be king of the rabbits, and rule over them. I was just like, oh, that's a funny connection. They probably didn't.
That is a funny connection.
Intentionally do. But
oh yeah. So also, when Howard made the joke about menstruating, I have several friends who are trans guys and they still have their cycles, and so they call it menstruating, and I think that that's fantastic.
I like skimmed over like my taping report for this episode. And there wasn't really like too much stuff to note in it. But one thing was like initially on that scene, Howard called it like PMSing, and then the
manstrating
was then like a
manscaping is definitely different.
Yeah, I was like, that's not the word.
And so then when Sheldon says, as far back as the 17th century, scientists observed a 33-day fluctuation in men's hormone levels, I have recently learned, for reasons that I will not explain, but Roxanne will be able to know why once I explain what it is, I have recently learned that they did not connect women ovulating to conception dates until the 1930s.
That is much later than I would have guessed.
They did. They knew, like, way, way back, like, even almost in prehistory about your menstrual cycle, and they knew that it stopped when you got pregnant. But mm-hmm. It was in, like, 1927 that they first – hold on. I actually bookmarked this. I actually don't think it's going to be relevant to why I was looking something up, and this is not what I looked up, but it's something that I came across. Hold on. My new laptop uses Bing and I don't like it and I can't find anything. But anyways, I think in 1927 was when they first realized why you could, because there's been like old wives' tales like for a long time about how like your pee could indicate that you were pregnant. But it was basically, I think, like you would pee and then like put it outside. And if a certain animal came up to it, it meant that you were pregnant or something like that. But they basically started like injecting immature mice. And if like not sexually immature, and animal testing is bad, guys. And if the animal like went into heat with the urine, despite them not being sexually immature, so they shouldn't be in heat, that meant that the urine was from a pregnant person, which I thought was interesting. But basically, that was when they connected like ovulation and like were able to tell that like this is around the time between your period that you would ovulate, and that is when you can get pregnant. And I find it very interesting that they've had fucking condoms for like 1,000 years, but we're not able to figure out like the timing of conception until the 1930s.
Yeah. Also, I'm just thinking, like, who was the one who thought, like, yeah, let's inject these mice with pee? Like, why are, like, I don't know.
There, I encourage you, and by that I mean I do not, to look up the weird experiments they were doing on mice around that time. It's horrible.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, if that's, like, the one that we're, like, hearing about because of figuring stuff out, like, how many other just, you know, like, crazy, cruel things they did that, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird shit. But yeah, I was just like, so in the 17th century, they're like, oh, men's hormones fluctuate over a 33-day period. And then meanwhile, it's like 1927, and they're like, maybe conception is more likely to occur at a specific point in the woman's cycle.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. So, yeah, it's a couple years too late for what I was planning on doing. Actually, that is not specifically what I was looking up, but I needed what I was looking up to be 1925, and so the 1930s is too late. But then I went down this whole rabbit hole of all the stuff with HCG, and when they figured out what that meant, and I still can't pronounce what HCG stands for, so I hope I never have to. Anyway... moving on, yeah. Sheldon noted that rabbits have the scrotum in front of the penis, which is maybe what they want to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Leonard still does not care about any of this.
I don't blame him, even notwithstanding everything else. One time, and I don't know if this would still come up now because I'm on Bing instead of Google Chrome. I'm going to download Google Chrome. I once Googled this. I said, what other mammals is the scrotum in front of the penis? And I remember something came up from like allyouneedisbiology.com or something like that. And like the like little text that comes up is a preview. It's like, if you want to see how the penis fits in the dolphin's vagina, click here.
No, thank you.
It's been years. I will never forget that. Hold on. Let me Google it. Oh, my. Okay, I found it. I just clicked. It's allyouneedisbiology.wordpress.com. Sorry, whoever creates this. The very first thing is mating turtles. That's the very first picture. Oh, my. Wow. That is a lot of reptile genitalia on this website. Ooh, okay, I'm gonna close out of that and then take a shower for my brain later. Do you have anything else?
Not really. Yeah, they narrow down that he's upset about Penny, and then Howard and Raj start throwing out different, very strange scenarios.
That they definitely have both done.
Yes. Again, like in the taping report, there were like a couple like variations there, but nothing that really stood out. They definitely went with like the weirdest ones in the episode. So, and then we've got Stuart and Sheldon with their little side conversation where we find out there is a bowling match, that night. So
I like Sheldon's trash talk.
Mm-hmm. You bowl like your mama unless she bowls well. Then you bowl nothing like her. And Stuart's
like, ouch. That is a pretty safe insult. Like, he's covering all his bases there.
Yeah, he is. All scenarios, it works. And then, yeah, it ends with more of those lovely guesses by Howard and Rosh.
So I remember there was someone who had quoted Howard's, "Did you take a Benadryl and fall asleep while pleasuring her? Because you can die that way." And I remember somebody commented on that and they were just like, "Yeah, you can. Because if a guy fell asleep while pleasuring me, I would murder him."
I don't even know where to start with that one. Yeah. That's in the stairs as they're continuing their guesses, and they run into Penny. It's slightly awkward, but Sheldon reminds her about bowling that night, and she's still down.
What's interesting to me is when Sheldon says, "In this particular case, your lack of femininity works to our advantage." And I don't even understand what he means by that, because Penny does not have a lack of femininity. She just also can throw down when necessary. Like, she's just a normal person.
Yeah.
Like, you could maybe argue that, like, maybe Amy has a lack of femininity, or... And I don't even want to say that, because she likes her tiaras and stuff. But, like, Penny's not... Like, Kat Dennings' character on Two Broke Girls has a lack of femininity. Okay, but I don't really think that Penny does. Just because she grew up on a farm and isn't, like, dainty about everything.
I feel like they kind of try to use Penny as, like, she's very girly and, like, a stereotypical girly girl when they want her to be, but then they, like, pretend that doesn't exist in other scenarios.
Mm-hmm. Like, going back to Adhesive Duck.
I don't want to go back to Adhesive Duck. Okay.
But yes. See, like, his line, it kind of stood out to me, but I was just thinking, like, is bowling not feminine? Like, it doesn't feel like it leans either way. Like, it felt like an odd way to tie femininity into bowling.
And then, like, Sheldon...
Of how you're spinning it.
Sheldon, like, kind of implies she's butch later on. And I'm like, do these writers know what a butch woman looks like? Because it's not Penny.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even me. And I am much closer to that look than Penny.
Yeah. Like, I guess he calls it spirit, but even in spirit, I wouldn't say. For Penny, so
maybe Bernadette in spirit, but not Penny.
I could see that more with Bernadette, the spirit.
Yes.
Okay, so then the bowling alley.
So I just want to say that I really hope that Albino Bob calls himself that.
Yes.
Kind of like Fat Amy.
Mm-hmm.
If Stuart just calls him Albino Bob. This is a terrible joke, and fuck off. So I'm just going to pretend Albino Bob calls himself that.
Yeah, I, like, completely forgot about that line, and then it stood out this time when I was watching, like, oh, I did not remember that was there. Yeah, but hopefully it's something like that, or, like, Captain Sweatpants, who I hope... Do we know if he calls himself that or not? I don't know.
I really feel like he does. Like, I don't think it's ever confirmed, but I'm actually quite confident that he just leans into it.
Yeah. I feel like he would, like, that's something better you can get behind than, like, Albino Bob if you don't like it, so.
Yes.
But yeah, hopefully those are all in the same realm. Yeah, so... Sheldon and Will have their first little face-off, because Sheldon's still upset about the card tournament.
But, I mean, he had a problem with Will Wheaton before the card tournament.
True. So. Yeah. It was only slightly gone by the lie, and then it returned, so, yeah.
I feel like he probably already owned WillWheatonStinks.com, and then after the card tournament, he added .net and .org.
Just buy them all up, yeah.
What would have been a good joke here is if he would have been like, "I'm the proud owner of WillWheatonStinks.com, .net, .org, and .gov," and then Will Wheaton would have been like, "How did you get .gov?"
He has his ways.
Yeah.
That would have been good.
All right, so then Sheldon says, "I don't know if Stuart told you what you're up against tonight, but before you stands the co-captain of the East Texas Christian Youth Holy Roller Bowling League Championship Team, 7 to 12-year-old division. Also, Penny's pretty good. First of all, Holy Roller Bowling Team for a Christian bowling team is a fantastic name."
Also, I love Penny's little, like, finger gun click after Sheldon says that.
Penny's like, my relationship is in kind of shambles, but I'm still going to kick Will Wheaton's ass at bowling.
Yes. I'm also amused by just Sheldon's Christian youth bowling thing, because the vast majority of my bowling experience came from, like, a bowling league with my church, so.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, so now they're bowling. Nothing happens in this episode, fuck's sake.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, it's a lot of filler with the bowlings and little interactions. So really, like, the next major thing is how Penny loves chili cheese fries and Leonard gets snarky.
He's a bit of an ass here. Like, I do understand if he genuinely believes that she does love him and she's just not saying it. I could see him being frustrated. But I'm also like, this is not the time or the place.
Yeah. And yeah, he really gets into it. Like, why wouldn't you love chili cheese fries? They've been in your life a long time. They make you happy. They deserve to know.
Honestly, she was right to dump him. He's acting like an ass. I think we brought this up last week, but I'm just like, he's being a jerk. Like, don't fucking do that, Leonard.
What's frustrating about her dumping him is how the motivation came from Will, who we know was lying. But, like, looking at the rest of this, like, yeah, they had the issues, and, like, Leonard was being very snarky. Like, I wouldn't want to be with him, like, for saying that stuff, so.
Well, like, he was lying, but also kind of making a good point. Like, don't string people on.
Yeah. It's just frustrating because we know his motivation behind it. Like, maybe it was something, like, true for her to think about, but it was frustrating how it came about in the first place.
Yes. I also don't think she should have just, like, run out of the bowling. Like, I feel like she should have, like, maybe go outside and have her... They could have just been a brief conversation. I don't think either of them handled this well, and I think maybe that's just a sign that it was good that they broke up, because they were never going to work on this together. They had to work on it by themselves. But, yeah, I don't know.
She says, you don't get to decide when I'm ready to say I love you, and leaves. And then Sheldon and Penny, he brings her ice cream, and by kind of explaining what's been going on, she just feels bad. And then he wants her to make up with Leonard so they can do the bowling rematch that night.
I liked how Sheldon was willing to remove him from the team. But then if being one shy was such a problem, why did Penny leaving cause a problem at the end of the episode?
True. I guess unless he was thinking he could remove him and find a replacement by that night, but, like, at the time, like, if someone disappears.
But, I mean, Will was the replacement for Bob, so there's that. I do like how Leonard says, when Penny says, I think we should talk when they're in the laundry room, and Leonard says, we don't have to talk because there's nothing to talk about. This episode...
But yeah, they talk but don't really talk about it, I guess. It's weird, like, this scene and some of the other Leonard Penny scenes, like, I watch it and I kind of, like, feel like, I guess it's like, it's not as strong as, like, the emotions I felt still watching it, but still it packs a little bit of a punch, like, oh yeah, like, I remember how this hurt the first time watching it.
And I'm sure that, like, Leonard, this wasn't a situation where he was going to be, like, worried that he messed up. Like, he did not think that him saying I love you was going to cause any problem. And I'm sure that these couple of days, he's just, like, so anxious, worried that he fucked it up and that they're going to break up. And so the fact that they do, like, I still do feel really bad. But I feel like they needed to break up. I mean, I don't know that they would have stayed together if they had stayed together right now. Because once they got back together, once they got past a lot of this stuff, they never broke up again once they got back together.
Yeah.
So, and they got through. I feel that the premature proposal's a little more relationship threatening than this. And they got through that.
Mm-hmm.
So, And then they even, like, they made it their own joke. I mean, they were so much healthier as individuals and as a couple after they were together a second time.
Yeah, like, later on, we get all the jokes that just show, like, how comfortable they were in their relationship at that point. Whereas this, it's, like, it's very rocky ground. And Leonard tries to joke about it, like, I've been in this relationship 2 years longer than you, which I like the line, but also it's like it's not really working well here. So.
And has he though? Because Penny was like really fucking jealous of Leslie like a month in.
True.
Like, I really don't know. I mean, Leonard obviously was first, but I'm like, I don't really think she was as far behind him as the show jokes about.
I feel like she was just maybe more like, I don't know if unconscious is quite the right, but like not as serious about it. I don't know. Like Leonard Moore was like, oh, this is what I want to happen. And she was like, oh, like maybe he's kind of cute.
Yeah. But I mean, she kissed him sober in season one.
True.
So, you know, I mean, initiated, like he initiated the Schrodinger's cat kiss, but like she wasn't drunk on his birthday.
Yeah.
And she was with Mike.
Yeah, it has. She's definitely had those feelings.
Yeah.
Something going back there.
So then we have this scene where they're arguing over what emphasis to put on what syllable of what word. And while I can appreciate it, it's just very clear that they're trying to fill space.
Mm-hmm.
Although it reminds me of when Nathan Fillion called Jewel and Simon during Dragon Con. And he was pretending he wanted acting advice from Jewel. And he's like, I don't know if I should say this line from Castle as, what's that in the road ahead? Or what's that in the road ahead? And there's not actually a head in the middle of the road, but I feel really good about that one. So this scene just reminds me of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like the next time he calls Simon and he's like, is his name? No, his name is Simon Sean. That's what it is. Their names are too close together. I call them character versus actor all the time. But he calls Sean. And he goes, so you know how I'm always asking Jewel for acting advice? And Sean goes, I don't know why, but yeah. That was good.
Yes.
And that whole trolling that panel was a very Nathan Fillion thing to do. But yeah, whenever I see this scene, which is not often because my dad doesn't watch this episode, I always think about, what's that in the road? A head? And I was like, no, there's not actually a head in the road, but.
That is good.
Yeah.
And much funnier than Crushers.
Yeah, it is much funnier.
Yeah. Also, like, is this... It feels like, based on, like, Sheldon and Penny's conversation when they were talking about, like, oh, like, Sheldon hadn't spoken to Leonard since, you know, whatever. Like, it feels like this is just the very next day. So how did Sheldon get these shirts so quickly was my question.
Because fast fashion is an environmental crime.
Okay. They look like they're, like, nice and well done. But, yeah. You got them fast.
They probably haven't worn them or washed them yet. Notice you never see these shirts again.
True. Yeah, and then we find out there's a bet on this game, and the loser will be publicly humiliated by the victor in some way.
Which is lame, but okay.
Yeah.
And then we've got them...
More bowling filler. Somehow another Avatar reference. This is just two episodes in a row, right? That was just the last one with the birds and ponytails.
What's the Avatar? I never saw Avatar, but yes. Also, the fact that, like, Stuart clearly thinks that there's still something going on with him and Penny.
Yeah. And then using, like, Romeo and Juliet as an example of a good relationship when they both end up dead, like... Tony and Maria also didn't end well, I don't think.
And what happened with what's-his-name in the Big Blue Chicken Avatar?
I do not remember.
Yeah, Romeo and Juliet, the whole story took place over, like, 4 days, and, like, 6 people died.
terrible odds. Let's not be in that story.
Also, I'm pretty sure Romeo was like, Juliet was like 13 and Romeo was like 16 or 18, which is where the whole Romeo and Juliet law things come from. But he's like in love with one girl and he's like moping because she doesn't love him back. And then he falls in love with this other girl, marries her, and then this weird suicide thing happens. And I'm like, Romeo, if you had stayed alive for like 3 more days, some other chick would have come along.
Yeah, just give it another day, dude.
Yeah. I don't know why my high school made us watch, like, both Romeo and Juliet movies. I'm sure there's more than two, but, like, the one from the 60s and then the one from the 90s. It was, like, the worst movie day ever because there were tits in both of them, as well as bare asses, and they kept on, the teachers would have to run up to the projector to try to like cover with a book so we didn't see anything, and we just thought it was funny, not that there were tits, but just how embarrassed the teachers were about them when they presumably had seen these movies before.
I remember watching the one from the 90s. I like I'm assuming they're just the one with Leonardo DiCaprio,
but yeah. Well, yeah, that's certainly not the one from the 60s.
Yeah, well, like I remember watching that one, but I also don't remember the teacher like trying to like censor parts of it.
Maybe you had to
watch the whole thing.
Maybe you had a version that already censored parts of it.
I don't know.
I don't know what them Christian schools do.
No, that was in high school, so
it was public. Oh, you went to public school? Okay, I don't know.
I was at Christian school for second grade and like a quarter of third grade, and that was it.
Oh, I don't know why I thought this was like your entire. Schooling. No. Well, and college too, but
college.
Okay, interesting. So, I mean, there's a lot of graphic sex shit in the Bible, so maybe I shouldn't be surprised anyway. But, like, what with the Old Testament? Spicy. Mm-hmm. But, I remember the first time I read the Old Testament, and I was just like, whoo, they cleaned up the New Testament, but not this one. There's so much more adult content in the old one. I'm like, now I understand why no one's let me read it before. But anyway, one teacher, there were two teachers. One would fast forward through the sex scene and would just say, and they're talking. And they're talking. And then the other one would, like, run up with her notebook to try to cover everything. And it was very much like the song Tits and Ass. But, mm-hmm. Like, you either had to cover her tits or his ass, but the notebook wasn't big enough to cover both at the same time. So she committed to covering the boobs. And then afterwards, she goes, what did we, what did she say? She goes, so what was the most interesting part of the episode, or not this episode, of this section? Because we watched it in, like, three parts or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she was like, and you can't say you can't say her breasts is what the lady phrased it. And then this other girl raised her hand and she goes, mine was probably the nice plump butt. So. Yeah, that's all we remember from Romeo and Juliet is not the sex scenes in the movies, but just like the absolute panic that the teachers had as if they had no warning that this was coming.
That was some very poor planning on the teacher to not have like a bigger notebook. Like you'd think she would be aware of this.
Or like just turn off the projector and fast forward, or every single person in the class has a butt and half of us had boobs and maybe just let us watch the fucking movie.
True.
Because, like, the panic about it is what made it funny. Like, I'm sure someone would have giggled, but, like, we could have gotten through it. We had, what was I gonna say? Shit. Oh, okay. So, the movie Airplane. Have you seen Airplane?
Yes.
Okay, so I think I've even told the story before, but
I remember almost nothing about Airplane, except at one point, this topless woman walks across the screen and you see her boobs for like 3 seconds. And the only reason I even remember that's in the movie is because my dad fucking panicked when that came on the screen, because my mom had said, don't let her watch Airplane. It's a stupid movie. And my dad's like, no, she'll like it. She'll like it. And he had forgotten about this part. And this scene comes up and my mother goes, Michael John. And my dad's like, I forgot that was in there. And it was like this whole thing, and like now the literal only thing I remember from Airplane is the boobs, and I probably wouldn't have remembered them 10 seconds later if my parents hadn't made such a big deal about it. And I saw this movie when I was like 10, and we recently had a conversation about this like a month ago because I brought it up, and my parents were just laughing because they were like, we don't even remember freaking out about that. And I was like, oh, I could not tell you a single thing about Airplane except that part. And it was literally just because they lost their goddamn minds.
I don't think I've ever, like, sat down and watched it all the way through, but I've seen, like, parts of it. And the part that stuck with me as a kid, I remember, was, like, my dad was, like, watching it one night or whatever, and I saw part of it. Is, like, when, like, the pilot, like, realizes he ate the, like, fish that made people sick or whatever. I just feel like I remember, like, the pilot's face, like, changing colors or something as he got sick. And for whatever reason, like, seeing that just, like, really freaked me out. And then I think, like, years and years later, I saw, like, that scene again. And I was like, this really doesn't seem that bad. But for whatever reason, as a kid, like, his reaction and, like, whatever it showed, it, like, it totally gave me the creeps. And I, like, did not like that scene. So, like, that's what stuck with me.
I do remember the guy who says he has a drinking problem. Like, that's the running joke that I remember. And then I think there was a dog in there at one point, not on the plane, but like on the ground. But I could not literally tell you anything else about that movie except for the boobs. And you could see that and be like, early sign she was a lesbian. No, they did nothing for me. I only remember it because my parents were like, my mom was like, I told you not to show them that movie. My dad's like, I forgot about that part. That's a likely story. And like, that was the whole thing. And by the look on my dad's face, I can tell that he did genuinely forget about that part. But like, which just reminds me, so they used to watch, I don't know if it was Monty Python or something, but it was some show that him and his brothers would watch in college, like after their parents went to bed, just because the parents would go to bed really early. And so he said there's one episode of this show where there's boobs for like 2 seconds on the screen. And he said, and my mother had come down to use the bathroom and was walking through the living room just as the boobs came on the screen. And she turned and looked to us and said, now I understand why you guys stay up every week to watch this. And they were like, we were both like, that's never happened before. And he's like, it really didn't. He's like, that was the only time in that entire show that there were boobs. But of course, my mom was walking through and she never let us forget it. And I even remember, like, even, I don't think the last time I saw her before she died, but like within a year or two, she used to say, well, you know, your dad and his brothers used to stay up. And my dad's like, that's not why we were staying up.
The perfect timing of that.
Truly. Yeah. So that was podcast filler, because we're currently on episode filler.
Yes.
Sheldon has to be the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, solid. Embody what you're doing.
Yes. And then Leonard gets really snarky again. Maybe you'll love me back someday. Like, dude, no, dump him for that.
Okay, really, really. Like, dump him. Dump his ass. Which, I mean, even at the time, like, I think I was a little more sympathetic because I was like, I know he's really afraid and he's really stressed and he's afraid that he's fucked it. And like, I get that. But like, even at the time, I was like, Leonard, maybe tone it back. But now I'm just like, dump him for that, Penny. Remember last week when he was supposed to bring home food and brought home a pile of crap?
I was just going to say, between that and then this, it's not going well, sadly.
No, he's been fumbling quite a bit here.
And then we have the scene with Will and Penny, where he says he dated a girl and she strung him along for 2 years when she said she wasn't sure. And he says he wished she would have just broken up with him to start with.
Which I know he's lying about, but also good advice. 2 years especially. That's a very long time.
Yeah.
And unless you're willing to, I mean, I know that they did have a conversation, and I do think that their conversation in the laundry room was a pretty mature conversation, even though it didn't really solve much. But, like, I do think that her breaking up in this situation actually does demonstrate how much she does care about him, because she doesn't want to break up with him, but she feels like it's not right to stay with him if she's not sure if she can meet him halfway. And I think that that's very mature. I think that that's something you do when you care a lot about a person. I am not saying I think she actually is, like, straight up in love with him in this moment, even though I think she probably was. But I don't think, I feel like, of all the stupid reasons that people have dumped people on television, mm-hmm. I don't think this is a bad one.
Yeah, she's definitely, like, it comes down to she's trying to spare him pain because she cares about him.
Right. And so, I mean, like, let's look at the most recent super traumatic breakup on one of my shows. Paige dumps Walter because he's friends with somebody who's also smart, and he's having a cranial affair with her, which is the same thing as physical cheating, because Paige is not super smart. And by hanging out with someone who is his intellectual equal, he is going outside the relationship to fill his needs.
Yeah, no.
Even people who didn't ship them were like, that is the dumbest fucking reason to dump somebody. And I know that Florence had feelings for Walter. I think she kind of was just dealing with a lot and was a little bit confused and was kind of projecting. Because she was just kind of new to, like, even having friends. So, like, of course, the, like, person she's really good friends with and looks up to and is also unavailable, which made him a safe target. I don't think she was in love with him. I think she had a little crush, which is fine. However, you don't have to break up with somebody just because someone else has a crush on the person you're with. He very clearly was not reciprocating that. But Paige has insecurities, which the show never explored because she was the normal one, and so her flaws were fine. But when the geniuses have the exact same flaws, they get a whole fucking story arc about it. I have a lot of residual anger towards Scorpion. But anyways, that was a stupid fucking reason to dump somebody, and I don't really think that this is here.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, So then, shortly after this, when Leonard, they start arguing again, and he has the, like, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. I feel like that's also, like, another point where it's, like, yeah, it's better for them to take their space at this point, because he's just kind of, like, I don't know what to do, so just tell me and then I'll do it and then we'll be fine, versus, like, trying to, like, work it out together.
Well, I think there is something to that in the sense of, like, sometimes you just need to communicate what you need to somebody. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that in this context at this point that's the right move.
Yeah, like, the vibe I got from Leonard is kind of more of, like, just tell me and then we'll just move past this, versus, like, tell me, like, how you're really feeling so I can understand.
Right. Like, he was kind of, like, at the point where he's like, whatever we need to do to stay together, I will do it. But it's like,
yeah,
it's not an instruction manual. And it's also not, it is her job to communicate to him, but it's also not her job to, like, program him for every situation.
Yeah.
I think that maybe they could have saved it if not for Leonard being obnoxious. But I also feel like down the road, they still would have wound up breaking up.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is, like, is definitely another, like, one of those scenes in this episode. I said, like, I feel like, oh yeah, like, there was that pain from the breakup. So,
but, and now
it's,
I'm just like,
it's just sad to watch.
Yeah. But now I look back and I'm like, but they get married.
It all worked out in the end.
It does work out
eventually. And then they're gonna have their smart and beautiful baby. So, yes.
Yeah.
Even
now, like, I, when me not wanting kids and me never going to have kids, because I am officially a year and 3 days post-op. The womb is closed. Yay. For business. There will be no womb mates. But I hear, like, it used to be when I was little, like, oh, happily ever after, married and pregnant. And now I'm just like, that all sounds terrible. But yes, I do love the smart and beautiful baby. I don't want to say wrap full around circle, considering we were just talking about condoms. So, yeah, full circle.
Yeah, so Penny leaves. Leonard says he's pretty sure it's already over. Wheaton and Sheldon will kind of, that's where we kind of get the confirmation that, like, yeah, he was just messing with Penny. And then the end is the guys at the comic book store, because they lost the bet. They are all dressed as their, as the various female superheroes, and everyone is upset except for Raj.
I mean, I would own it. I'd be like, fuck yeah, I'm Batgirl. What are you gonna do?
Yeah.
Batgirl can still get more women than anybody in that comic book store.
One thing I forgot about, but I mentioned in the taping report, was since, like, you know, like, so they did, like, that tag, they did film that live. So then when the guys came out for, like, at the curtain call, they were all still in their costumes. But then when Kaylee came out, she was wearing Johnny's Supergirl wig. So.
Oh, I do remember that. Yeah.
So that's just a fun little tidbit.
Yeah.
But that is the Wheaton recurrence.
Okay, so I know that this was way before they were doing this, and also it's way too late in the episode, but I'm just imagining when Johnny and Kaylee would come up and talk to the audience, like, what if he was in the Supergirl costume? Like, I know they weren't doing that in season 3, and I know that that was the tag, so that isn't when they would have done it, but I'm like, that would have been so funny.
Mm-hmm. That would have been cool. I feel like this must have been, like, a very short taping, because everything at the bowling alley was pre-taped.
Nothing happened, also.
Yeah. When I watched this episode this morning, I was thinking, like, this might be a short episode, because there's really not that much to discuss other than, as we said, the main bit with Leonard and Penny, and then all the filler in between it all.
The one where nothing happened.
Yeah.
Like, simultaneously, a lot happened. Like, this is one of the pivotal events of the series, and it happened in an episode with nothing else.
It's like they were like, okay, we need to do this. We'll put it in this setting and then just fill in fluff around it.
And I think it does show that, like, how central the writers always viewed Leonard and Penny. Like, oh, if they're breaking up, this needs to be, like, the entire plot. Mm-hmm. But also, it's just another episode where it's like, oh, the gang is all gung-ho on this activity that they apparently do, and then it just doesn't really come up
that
again.
That we never hear about again.
I feel like they mention it maybe. I feel like it's brought up at some point again.
We see Wee bowling, I think, yeah, at some point prior to this.
I feel like there wasn't there. Okay, I could be thinking of a fanfic now that I'm thinking about it, but I'm like, I thought there was another episode where they were bowling and someone referenced the breakup, but now I'm thinking that might have been a fanfic.
I'm pretty sure that was a fic.
Okay. Someone did tell me once, they were like, they were making a fan vid, and they were like, I'm trying to find the scene of, like, Sheldon and Penny at the Cheesecake Factory, and I thought that this would work perfectly because Sheldon was doing this, and they messaged me because they were like, and then I realized it was a scene from one of your fics and wasn't actually in the show. And I was like, oh, sorry.
Like, sorry, but that's also, like, a very high compliment that you, yes, can get for,
because,
one of
your, like, fics. There was the scene when Kaylee had her horse accident where, like, Sheldon was at the bar. So, like, yeah, they did have the visual, but they were looking for, like, something specific that happened. And they were like, why is it not in this scene? What episode is it in? I thought it would have been, you know, when Kaylee had the broken leg. And then they realized that it wasn't an actual scene. But the reason it fooled them for so long is we did have a similar scene, just not the one that they were looking for. So, like, it was really easy for them to picture it in their head. Mm-hmm. But then they were like, yeah, no, the specific thing. And I don't remember what it was, but they were like, nope, that was yours.
Yeah, this, it's weird, like, looking back at this episode now, because I don't know. Like I said, I was very much in denial. I was like, oh, they're going to get back in the together in the next episode. Oh, well, it'll just be the next. Oh, it'll be by the finale.
Yeah. And this was, like, shortly after we started talking, too, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because I remember, like, you telling me, I think they're going to get back together by the finale. And I was like, well, this chick, like, doesn't actually know, but she got the vibes from the taping, so maybe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was back when we were still, like, doing introductions and conclusions to our messages, like, hello, thank you for responding to me. And it was, like, so formal.
I really wish fanfiction.net didn't, like, scrub those messages, but they scrubbed everything before, like, 2013. Because, like, mm-hmm. I really would have loved to go back to, like, you and Amber and just be like, oh my gosh, we used to do, like, actual letters over private message.
Right.
And now I start half of my messages to you with yo.
Or just, like, yeah, just jump into it, whatever it is.
Yeah, I just send you screenshots that I'm like, mm-hmm. this is the worst thing I've seen all day. I'm going to share it with you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Yeah. So, yeah, this was Wheat and Recurrence.
Really, it's fine.
Not
it's
much
not,
else to say.
It's not a bad episode. It's just, I always said, I was like, oh, I think I actually like this episode now because it was well done. But now I'm like, it wasn't really because nothing happened.
Yeah, that was really just what hit me watching it today. I was like, there is almost nothing else of substance in this episode. It's filler. It's kind of fun filler, but it's filler. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because you've got really significant with a backdrop of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if they hadn't broken up in this episode, we would have been like, the bowling episode!
Maybe.
I mean, there is fun stuff to it, but it's like, just like the road trip episode, I feel like that also had the potential to be like nothing happened, but it was just so fun that we enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I mean, nothing happens in that one either, so.
I feel like that one is just like, that one is funny.
But like, they wrote that one with like, this is going to be a fun episode, whereas like this was like, we're going to have this shit happen and what else can we have happen?
Yeah, like, I guess, like, if it didn't have the backdrop they were working around, like, just a bowling episode could have been a lot of fun. But because of the constraints, all the bowling stuff just had to be filler.
Yeah, exactly. When I talk about fun ones, the one podcast that I listen to, the wife host is vegan, and they were doing a topic that someone else had submitted to them, and it involved, like, you could tell by the title that a lot of animals were going to die. So I'm like, this person has balls submitting this, like, to a vegan. And then she's, like, introducing the topic to the co-host, and she's like, this is going to be a fun one. And I'm like, I am receiving the mixest of signals right now. and with the context, I'm like, I can understand. It was basically these animals that, like, were pests, and so people were going to try to, like, reduce their population, and then the animals sort of kind of fought back and won for a while, so I can see what you mean, but I was just like, first, I was like, oh man, they're having a vegan do this story, and then she called it a fun one, and I'm like, I don't know what's happening anymore.
I was just checking, like, what season Love Car is in, because I was like, have we, like, talked about that episode? Yeah, it's 4, so I am now very looking forward to getting to that one.
Because we started with season...
We figured out 2013. I think that was season 6?
6.
Because 2010 was in season 3.
Okay, I thought we started in 4, but we did do, like, top episodes from all the seasons at some point.
Oh, yeah,
so
we did that.
Because we did talk about some of these episodes already, and so that was throwing me off.
I forgot about those, yeah.
But we'll
deep dive into it later. Okay, well, I think that will wrap up this then. So if you guys have questions, comments, suggestions, you can email us at podcast@thebigbangbuzz.com. Leave a comment on the website at thebigbangbuzz.com or tweet us at thebigbangbuzz with 3 Z's. Bye.
Bye.